Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Okay, can you hear me? Hello, good evening. Why don't we all stand up for a while? Stand up for a while. Please help me. Come on, stand up for a while. You got to help me to preach tonight. I am really excited to be here. And so at the count of three, I want us to shout hallelujah three times. Very easy. As loud as you can, because we want to praise Jesus before we start. Amen? We honor a great man. Now we want to honor Jesus with all our heart, with your clapping, screaming, everything you've got. One, two, three.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand. And let me pray again. Father, we ask of you to really anoint us, open our hearts, and bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor, give a high five, and say, handsome, how are you? Beautiful, how are you? And please take a seat. Right, can we have the slides up? It's good to be back here. If you do not know me, I'm the youth pastor in the Chinese ministry. This is my family. In my younger days, I used to say this, I have the gift of preaching agreeable and moving messages. Everybody were like, oh, really? Yeah, because in my younger days, right, when I was preaching halfway, I'll be seeing people closing their eyes and nodding in a trance-like way. If not, they'll be doing their head rotation clockwise direction, or they'll be losing consciousness halfway, or I'll be moving them to the toilet to wash their face. So can you turn to your neighbor and look at him or her in the eye and say, please do Pastor Chris a favor. Yeah, please do it. Please don't sleep tonight. Okay. And I like us to kind of talk a little bit, because I think preaching is really like worshiping God. And same for you, because a lot of youth ministry, they love singing. All right? That is worship. Amen? Amen. All right. You finish singing and then everybody goes like quiet. Your part to continue in worship is to listen and respond. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to respond tonight. Because your response is your worship. And how you respond and how I preach will be our worship to God. And today we want to really do this together. Amen. We want to do this to worship God. Now, I know that you are in this series of knowing God's heart. This is my family. I always put up this as a first slide. For you to know my family, this is my beautiful wife. Isn't she beautiful? Okay, there's some people responding. Okay, I hope this is getting better and better. Okay, isn't she beautiful? Okay, come. And these are my three wonderful children. Now, how many of you married ones out there, kind of raise your hand? Like, yeah, I see some hands. I see your hand, brother. You're a bit too young to be married. But anyway, those who are married or those who have a mother will know that women are difficult to understand. Amen? Yeah, very loud amen from there. I heard a story about this guy. He was praying one day, and then he was faithful, praying, serving, and one day, the heavens opened, and God spoke to him and say, Bernard, you have been faithful, serving me. I'm so pleased with you. This is God saying to him. And say, because you have been so faithful, I'm going to grant you a wish. All right? You just wish for anything. I'll give it to you. And so Bernard thought for a while. He said, well, what can I think of? You know, I live in America. I love to go to Hawaii. So God, why don't you build me a highway so that I don't have to travel by air? I can drive to Hawaii. And God was stunned. And then God said, Bernard, I would expect more from you. How can you request for such a selfish prayer? So materialistic. You waste a lot of resources, no, for me to create a highway. Not that I cannot do it, but it's going to waste a lot of resources. So let me give you another chance. Why don't you reconsider and make another wish? So Bernard thought for a while. He said, yeah, God, you're right. So let me think for a while. And said, And then he said to God, he said, I've been married 4 times, so I'm not very good with women. I do not know how to understand women. So God, can you grant me this request of understanding women so that I can serve them for the rest of my life? And then there was a long pause. And then God said, so you want the highway to have 2 lanes or 4 lanes? You know, it's difficult to understand women. I've been married for about close, this is my 15 years. But understanding my wife, right, is like a journey. And today, I know that we are asking this question of God's heart, yeah? Right? We were asking this question about, what's God's heart for the lost? Turn to your neighbor and say, what's God's heart for the lost? You know, and how would you answer this question? How would you answer this question? In fact, this question is so simple because, to be honest, sometimes understanding God's heart is easier than understanding my wife's heart. Okay? God's heart for the lost is for them to be found. Yeah? God's heart for the lost is for the lost to be found, isn't it? You can actually remember this and go and do it and that's it. End of service. How about that? God's heart for the lost is not like some secret special thing that you have to dig it out, you need to find out. No, God's heart for the lost is simple and it is this. He wants the lost to be found. Now, you may not understand this. I believe you have been reading your Bible and you know that in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Jesus talks about the lost sheep, where a shepherd has 100 sheep and lost one. And he will leave 99 and look for the one, right? And then you have the lost coin. Now, if you have lost something, you lost something precious, how would you feel when you found something back? You will be so joyful, right? But when I think of coin, when I think of sheep, I don't really understand. But when you talk about human beings, I do know something because I have 3 children. Now, imagine with me that if my wife would tell me, Chris, let me have an off day, which is quite seldom. Let me have an off day. And then can you bring the 3 children to the shopping mall, have a great day, and let me take a break. And I say, all right, I'm going to have a great day with my children. Bring them to the shopping mall and we all have fun. I have so much fun that I have forgotten about my children and they were lost. All right, they run everywhere. I didn't know why because I was looking at my gadgets, my DVDs, and all the things that I love to look at. And then what would you do at a point of time? No, you don't call your wife at that point in time, okay? You try to find them, all right? You try to find your children one by one. You will call the security guards, you will call the police, you will find the shopkeepers, you will go through the trays, and you will look for them, and you try to look for them even after 2 hours. You don't call your wife. Only after 5 hours, then you call your wife. All right? And before 5 hours is up, I managed to find my eldest daughter, Charlotte, Chloe. And I was like, wow, praise God. Where do you go? You know, I was looking for you. I was worried for you. And then another 2 hours gone by. By then, my wife already notified. The police already notified. And I found Charlotte. But the shopping mall need to close. And this is a huge shopping mall. Or just imagine with me that we have gone through the toilets, the girls' toilets, and we couldn't find Caleb, my youngest son. And then, what would you say to me? Would you say, never mind lah, you win some, lose some, right? You lost 3, at least you got 2 back, ma. No, you won't. You will be saying, hey guy, you have to look for it. You got to ask them not to close the shopping mall. You got to go everywhere. If you have the capacity to go around the island in Singapore, you will go all out just to look for that lost one. And that is God's heart for the lost. And today, if you are new here and you have been lost for a while and you're back here, I want to tell you this, God has never forsaken you. Amen. God has never let go of you. God will always hold us close to His heart. And that's the heartbeat of God. And asking what's God's heart for the lost is almost like, you know, asking what's on Lee Kuan Yew's heart. I believe for the last 1 week, you have been reading articles. And one of the articles that really touched me about our founding father is this little red box. How many of you have read this article? Just wave. And you know what I'm talking about. I want to just read some quotes here. And this is written by Education Minister Heng Swee Keat. He said that this red box includes some of the contents that Mr. Lee will be concerned about. So every day, Mr. Lee will kind of go about his business, look at things, and then he will write down certain things that needs to be done and put this into the little red box. And he would sleep probably at 3 a.m. almost every day. When I read that, something broke in me. I thought to myself, I say, this guy is really concerned about Singapore. And one of the final quotation that comes from the security officer who was with Mr. Lee for almost 30 years. He said this, what was on Mr. Lee's heart? Country, 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 country. Four times. And I thought to myself, what's on my heart? What's on your heart today? Is it country? Schoolwork? Your girlfriend? Or Pirate King? Or whatever game you are playing? And please do the pastors a favor. Stop inviting them on Facebook for games. Especially Pirate Kings. Today I want to ask a question to all of us. I mean, I've got a message that I think is close to my heart, and I want to ask this to myself too. What's our hearts for the lost? Turn to your neighbor and ask her or ask him, what's your heart for the lost? C.S. Lewis once says this, that the church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christ. If they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, the clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose but to make the rest of the people little Christ, to draw all men to himself. I love Canon J. Jones. I don't know whether you have heard him before. He's a great speaker. He used to summarize the church in this manner. He says, the church is about looking up. Everybody say, looking up. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Looking up. Like, say with passion, okay? The second one is looking in. And the last one is looking out. Church, essentially, according to Canon J. John, he says that it's about looking up, worship, and looking in, well-being, and then looking out. But he said that a lot of times we spend many hours looking up and say, God, you know, you are the potter, I'm the clay, mold me, mold me, mold me. And then later on you say, mold me, mold me, mold me. And then you come to church and here am I preaching the word of God to you. We are talking about your well-being. But very little time is spent on reaching out. And so he said that many of us, although we are not evangelists, how many of you think that they would like to be an evangelist? Just raise your hand boldly. You know, you got to be bold if you want to be an evangelist. How many of you would want to become an evangelist? All right, one hand. Praise God. Come on, let's give them a round of applause. Let's encourage them. It's not easy. And when I was younger, in the campuses, I used to go out to campus, preach the gospel, share with people, and I always thought to, I told God, I say, God, you know, I don't think I have the gift of evangelism because everyone I talk to never come to Christ. And I went to the hospital to pray for the sick, and the sick died 1 week after. I say, I don't have the gift of healing, I don't have the gift of evangelism, I don't know what I'm going to do in your kingdom. But you know what? I did not give up. Now, you may think that you sit there and you think, I can't share really well, I can't do this, I can't do that. Don't be defined by your gifts. Amen? Your identity is not defined by your gifts. So Canon J. John says that while not many are evangelists, we are all called to do the work of an evangelist. Now, I know that many of the leaders here, especially, I don't know where is Pastor Victor Sid, he's not here today. Now, he's a champion for a component of understanding yourself, understanding your gifts, called what? Strengths Finder, right? Have you done the Strengths Finder test before? If you have done it, just, you know, humor me, just raise your hand, respond, okay, there's a few of you. And then he will tell you, right, as he has told us, you know, those who have the yellow color, you know, the one like me, yellow are now, yellow with the strength of ooh. Alright, you will have ooh, right, means you most likely can be an evangelist because people will be so attracted to you. You are a natural to talk to strangers. You can talk to anybody on the streets. And these are people, like Fang Fang, people who start talking and end the talking still, you know, and you love listening to them talk, right, John? And, You just love them because they are full of life and story. But you know what? Don't let your strength finder depend or determine what you can do for the Lord in evangelism. Amen. Because I think the strength finder are good because it has helped me a lot to understand myself and my strength and the things that I'm passionate about. You know, activating people, getting people to do hard work. That's me. But at the same time, I'm not limited to think of myself saying that, well, I don't have the gift of this ooh, so I'm not a natural. No. God is saying that with whatever gifts you have, with whatever strength you have, use it and do it like an evangelist. Everybody say evangelist. You gotta do the work of an evangelist. Meaning to say, if I'm called to be a worship leader, sing like an evangelist. If I'm called to be a preacher, preach like an evangelist. If I'm called to be a teacher, teach like an evangelist. If I'm called to usher people into the church, usher people like an evangelist. Make those who are here for the very first time feel that God is so alive here. Amen. You guys are not helping me tonight. Make church alive. And let the people who come in here know that, hey, God is here. Right? God is here. And when they step out of church tonight, they will say to themselves, I've met God tonight. Do the work of an evangelist. That's my title tonight. I want you to really know that it is not about how good you are or what you can do or what you cannot do, but you've got to do the work of an evangelist. And if you have your Bibles with you, can you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4? Alright, if not, you can look at the screen. And I want us to read out loud together. 1, 2, 3. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Now, I'm going to stop here because when you look at the word, I charge you, those who are in army, do you love to hear the word, I charge you? When I was a platoon commander, those soldiers that we don't like, we used to threaten them. We say, I tell you, I charge you later. So when you hear the word, when I was looking at the scripture verse, well, I charge you. What is Paul charging Timothy to do? Or for that manner, charging all of us to do? Because it's really for all disciples. Amen. It's for all of us. Now, Paul is writing. Many commentators say that he's about to die. In fact, few days, some say few weeks, maybe few months. I don't know. But I do know something, that there is an urgent message for Timothy. And this is Paul, a dying man, wanting to tell Timothy something very important. You know, when Lee Kuan Yew is dying, many people will want to listen to all the words, right? And those dying people, when someone is dying, right, you will lean forward. Last year, my mentor passed away. She's a great woman of faith. She is the one that inspired me to do missions. She's the one that inspired me to do many things. I go to her for many advices. So last year when she was lying at the hospice because of cancer, she was lying there and every time when I enter the hospice, right, I would be saying like, you know, Being, I'm here. I say, who's that? Chris. Oh, I remember there was a night when she was really dying. That's a few days before I felt a need and a burden to just visit her. So I went there and I went there quietly, and she noticed someone is coming, and then she closed her eyes, and she was saying, Chris! I said, yes. And this is the moment, you know, right? a dying person, your mentor, someone you respect. So what would you do? You lean forward, right? She's going to say something, right? Can you imagine? I lean forward and then every word you will want to receive. And then she say, Chris, pass me the cup of water. No, she didn't say that, but she said this, Chris, you got to rest more. And you know, for the longest time, ever since her funeral, that word has been ringing on my mind. Hey, Chris, you got to rest. And I know that that's really a word of knowledge. You call it the Rhema word. It is really for me because I'm a very hard worker and I drive myself very, very hard to know and to do and to do ministry. But her word of advice was very strong in my heart. And today when we listen to the voice of Paul, actually, I charge you. Do you know that the original word in Greek, you know what it means in English? It is the same. I charge you. Exactly the same. A lot of pastors like to do that, right? You know, the original word actually is the same thing. I charge you. But there is a heavy connection to a legal term, which means to say that there is actually a legal binding fact of this charge. It's not a suggestion. It's asking you to do it. No qualms about it. So I charge you, therefore, preach the word in season and out of season. It is the Great Commission, not the Great Omission. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, it is the Great Commission, not the Great Omission? And you know, preaching the word in season and out of season, I don't know whether you have ever experienced that, Ben, but when I was in the army, especially going back reservist, being a youth pastor gave me a lot of opportunity to preach the gospel in season and out of season. You know, nobody is going to tell you, you know, at 5 o'clock, Chris, you'll be in the fire tunnel and that there will be a lot of people asking you, so what is the gospel? Nobody is going to do that because a lot of times they will spring on you. And there are many occasions when we were chit-chatting and someone will come up to me and say, so Chris, you're a pastor, right? So what's the meaning of life? You have 2 minutes to answer me. And at that moment, right, you kind of trying to think of, you know, Rick Warren, what Rick Warren say lah, what, you know, my mother say lah, what my pastor say. So, before you know it, right, he cut you off and say, sorry, that's too long. You know, you don't even know the meaning of life. Or when I start off with the word, I think God, and he say, no, you cannot put God in the equation. And that's how, challenging it was. But I tell you, don't look at these challenges as fearful times because they are really training grounds for you. Amen. It has made me a better preacher of the gospel. I remember once I was talking with someone. In fact, he was a sergeant major and he was struggling with something. Anyway, he got really upset about, you know, why Christian cannot be with non-Christian because his ex-girlfriend was a Christian, and then the pastor scold them and things like that. Got really upset. So he asked me and say, why cannot? I say, what is it that you're upset about? And he say, why does God allow suffering in the world? Can you tell me if God is so good? And then, from a very quiet conversation, caring for him, the entire three tunnel in the whole, the three tunnel, you know, as a three tunnel, right? Like I can't describe it. It's like a truck that carries all the soldiers at the back. So we were all gathering there. And he asked this really loud. And I have to explain. And I will be preaching the gospel and everybody will be listening. And this is preaching the word in season and out of season. There was a time when they challenged me and say, you know, let's go live firing. We have this, I don't know whether you still have that. When I go back reservist, we have live firing. And in fact, if you shoot well, you will get a reward about $200 per person. And you have to fire in a section about 7 people. And my sergeant came to me and said, so, sir, can or not? I say, okay lah, my night vision not that good, so I'm praying. I'm praying for you, I'm praying for me, I'm praying that we will be able to shoot well. And then he held on to the rifle, and then he looked at me like, ya, ya, papaya, like that. And then he said, sir, this kind of thing, no need pray one, need skill. How would you answer him? All right. I turned to him. I said, look at tonight's sky. There was a fog just now. And because I prayed, if I've not prayed, the fault will come, and no matter how skillful you are never going to make it, right? And so there it is, true enough. We did really well, and he supposedly supposed to shoot well, but he didn't do that well. And I say, I save you, because my points level you up so you can get a $200. Now, this is not the time for bragging, but you know what I mean. That you got to believe that God is God. Amen? So you preach the word in season and out of season. One last story, okay? It's a quick one because I got to finish my message on time. Now, this is a time when, you know, for the Chinese staff, right, we have to hold an emergency phone. But this is a time when I don't have to hold the emergency phone. I came back late. I reached home at about 11:30. So just about to go to the shower. My wife received an urgent call from my daughter's friend's mother's friend, auntie. Okay? You are lost, never mind. It's someone totally unrelated to me. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay? And the call was urgent because they heard that I'm a pastor and I can do miracles. No, they heard that I'm a pastor and they heard about, you know, this, they have a daughter who was demon possessed at 11:30, just when I was going to shower and going to bed. And they said, can your husband please come and help us? Because he didn't know what to do. Non-Christian. All right. So, you know what was my first response? Can wait until tomorrow or not? Then my wife said, what? Demon possessed, still on the way? I say, I'm very tired. Tonight I'm very tired. Since she was demon possessed already, this kind of thing can last very long one. So let her wait for a while. I take my shower. Let me pray about it first. But to be honest, my heart was totally, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Please, give me a break. Anyway, I went. In fact, I got Constance to go with me because she was staying nearby. So I got her out and said, hey, want to go or not? And cast out demons. So we went there. Thank God, the demon kind of left already. So she was pretty calm. But you know what? We went there and we managed to share the gospel with the family, and the entire family came to know Jesus Christ. How about a clap offering to God, right? Now this is like, one of those gift packages God want to give you, and then I was so reluctant to receive it. When I received it, wow, so good. You know, it's that kind of thing. Preach the word in season and out of season. Why? Because the time will come when they, which means everybody else, will not endure sound doctrine. Everybody shout, sound doctrine. Yes, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is not just to Timothy, it's for all of us. And so the first thing I want to point out, the first thing to do the work of an evangelist, you are taking notes, please write them down. You must have content with conviction. You must preach with content and conviction. The time will come when people will have no time for good doctrine. Now, doctrine is always being taught. That's why you come to church. Please do not criticize your leaders when they are teaching you something. Please do not say that their sermons are boring because they take a lot of time to prepare them. And we cannot just flood the whole sermon with stories and illustrations because we run out of time. Doctrines need to be taught. Dogmas need to be passed on. And it takes time. And it is time for all of us, young people, please give time to learn hard doctrines. When I was in Bible college, there was a pastor that came to us and said that he used to teach a lot in and preach a lot in conferences. He's those reaching out to people who are really in the heartlands and drug addicts coming to Christ and all these sort of things. So he was preaching in a youth conference, and there was a time when everybody was wearing the, you know, the bracelet that says WWJD. You know what that means? What does that mean? What would Jesus do, right? So everybody worship, what would Jesus do, what would Jesus do? So after the worship, he said this, how many of you have read the New Testament before? Like complete. Like, I'm not asking you now, so don't feel bad, okay? And he asked this in a conference. He said, only a few hands shot up. And then he said this, if you do not know what Jesus has done, how do you know what would Jesus do? Isn't that right? And so a lot of times we don't read the Bible enough, right? Young people start to, you got to have content. How would you like if I give you a nice present and it is so nice on the outside, nice wrapping, and there's nothing inside? You know, Chinese New Year is just over. Have you received ang paos? There's nothing inside. Or maybe you received an ang pao with a verse inside and say, oh, give verse for what? Okay, recently, I have some friends who received ang pao by accident. They received ang pao with no money inside. They say, oh, yeah, I thought I can watch movie. Okay, if you receive something like ang pao, present, there's no content, you'll be very disappointed. Same thing, God is not going to be very happy with us if you go out there and say, oh, I want to do the work of an evangelist, but you do not know the content of the gospel. You got to know it. And this is not the time for me to share with you the tenets of the gospel. I'm sure your pastors have been teaching you. There's a story about this guy, young country bumpkin. He wanted to be a minister and he went to apply for a job at church. And so the board interviewed him and asked, can you tell us the story of the Good Samaritan? And he said, yes, sir, of course, I will tell you. And he said this, once there was a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up and choked him. And as he went on, he didn't have much money. So he met the Queen of Sheba. And she gave him 1,000 talents of gold and 100 changes of raiment. And he got into a chariot and drove furiously. And when he was driving under a beech juniper tree, his hair caught on a limb of that tree and he hung there for many days. And he hung there for many days and many nights. And the ravens brought him food to eat and water to drink. And he ate 5,000 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. One night he was hanging there asleep. His wife Delilah came along and cut off his hair. And he dropped and fell on stony ground. But when he got up and went on, it began to rain. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And he hid himself in a cave and he lived on locusts and wild honey. Then he went on till he met a servant who said, come, take supper at my house. And he made an excuse and said, no, I won't. I have married a wife and I can't go. And the servant went on in the highways and in the hedges and compelled him to come in. After supper, he went on and came on down to Jericho. And when he got there, he looked and saw the old Queen Jezebel sitting out by the window. And she laughed at him and he said, throw her down there. And he said, throw her down again. And they threw her down 70 times 7 times. And of the fragments that remained, they picked up 12 baskets full, besides women and children. And they said, blessed are the peacemakers. P-I-E-C-E, peacemakers. Now, whose wife do you think she will be in the judgment day? How would you talk? This guy got a lot of content, but all wrong-headed. You can have a lot of content, but you do not know what exactly you're talking about. That's why content must be understood with context and rooted with conviction. We live in a day of tolerance, yeah? Okay, a day when, in my time, when we mention tolerance, it's like this. Tolerance means we agree to disagree. There's a disagreement, but we agree that we will disagree. But today, I've come to realize that the tolerance that your generation is facing is this. It is an agreement to never disagree. You can't disagree, because if you disagree, you are being bigoted. If you disagree, if you have a stand, you are being narrow-minded. So the exaltation of the word tolerance has changed in your generation, in my generation today. In a world of confusion, we tolerate everything. We call wicked good. We call selfishness, well, fulfillment. We call lust love. We call offensiveness reality. There is no longer bearing in truth. We no longer have the word of God as our compass. So guys, you got to wake up, rise up, and begin to understand the word of God for yourself. You got to know the word of God to preach the word of God. And you got to preach it in a way where it means something to you. that you know that the Bible is real. You know that God is alive. You know that there's a reality of hell. You know that God has raised from the dead. You know that the Bible is inerrant. Do you know? I can turn to my own youth ministry and I look in the eyes of many of them. I know their lives. And they may say that, yes, I believe. But no, they don't. Lip service is not true understanding. Lip service is a pretense. You want to preach the word of God, you want to do the work of an evangelist, know your Bible well. Know the content well and be convicted about its content. My boy loves ice cream. My family has this great love for ice cream. I don't know why. Okay, and he will tell you when he has been trained by his mother so well that he will come to you when he's sick and say to all my friends, guests that come to our house and say, I have a running nose today. I cannot eat ice cream. And everybody will say, wow, that's very nice. But when we take out the ice cream, he will be the first one to run there and say, I want ice cream. And I said, I thought you said that you have running nose. And with the mucus still dripping down from his nostril, he will say, but that was just now, I'm okay already. Lip service. All right, lip service is not true understanding. It's not a conviction, neither about our experience. Now, I'm going to take some time for this because it is heavy. And I want you to listen carefully because you know the story of Lazarus and the rich young man. There was a time when this rich young man has a beggar called Lazarus by the gate and he was begging for things and the rich man did not give anything and the dogs would come and lick the souls of Lazarus. And when they pass on to the next life, rich man was in hell burning and then Lazarus was on the other side in Abraham's bosom. And then this guy who was burning was crying out and say, Father Abraham, can you ask Lazarus to give me a drop of water? And then Father Abraham says this, sorry, there is a big gulf between us and you. We cannot do anything else when you cross over the other side. There can be nothing else we can do to help you. And so the rich man says, so if you cannot help me, I'm suffering here in hell. So can you do something? Can you ask Lazarus? Can you send Lazarus back to life? Because I have my brothers, I have my family. They are not dead yet. They need to hear that there is a hell. They need to know. They need to do kindness. And you know what? The Bible says this. Abraham said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. What does this mean? Now, our conviction is not found in our experience. And you come here some days, you'll feel like, you know, I'm really not in a good mood, but you raise hand because the Bible says that God is good. You come here today and maybe you're feeling a bit down, you know, you fail a test, you quarrel with your mom, or you may just be hurting, or you may be sick. But you know what? The Bible says that God is faithful and He will always hold you in your difficult times and you praise God. Because the conviction is not found in our experience. The conviction is found in the Word of God. When Peter saw the transfiguration and there was the same thing, the law and the prophets, right? Moses and who was there in the transfiguration? Please shout out loud. Elijah. Elijah representing the prophets. Moses representing the law. Same thing. Remember just now he said, if Moses and the prophets, it's the same thing, the law and the prophets, that sums up the Old Testament. And Jesus stand there, the completion of everything, the Word of God, the Old and the New Testament. Before Peter, James and John, Peter was so excited that he wanted to build three shelters and say, oh, we'll come here one day, we'll bring your followers and worship you. But and Jesus said no, and the heavens opened and the Father cried out and said, listen to Jesus. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. And then they went down. And you know, in the letter of Peter, he said this. He said this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. I'm going to read to you. Just listen. He said, we do not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses. That means you say that this is a real miracle. I'm telling you, this is a real experience. But when he received, Jesus Christ received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice came down and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We ourselves heard this. And today, this is confirmed. Fully confirmed what? Fully confirmed in Scripture. Fully confirmed in Scripture. And he says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. Man spoke carrying the Holy Spirit. Guys, we got to believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. You got to read it, memorize it, meditate on it, carry it, hide it in your heart, and be convicted about its message. You cannot just have content. You cannot have no content. You cannot just have content, but you do not know where it's heading. You got to know it by heart. You got to know it like you know that this is for real. Rabbi Zacharias talked about a story in 1974 when he was invited to Cambodia. And he was preaching to a conference and there was a great revival. Many people were coming to the Lord. But this was what just a few months before the Khmer Rouge came over and took over Cambodia. And he was with these two Christian leaders, one by the name of Chiat and the other by the name of Sang Son. If you have been listening to his podcast, RZIM, you'll hear this story. It's a significant story. Touched me a lot. And this was a time when Chiat, which is a major in the military, and Sang Son, a leader in the Evangelical Alliance, would want to bring Rabbi Zacharias to a great restaurant to eat because they are so, they just want to honor him. And Ravi Zacharias said, no, don't bother about this, you know, just keep the resources to yourself. But they say in Cambodia, at that point in time, there was nothing fancy. So they bring him to the so-called most fancy place. And the food came, the noodles came, and Ravi Zacharias said this, when he put his fork in and put it in his mouth, he felt that something was wrong. The food was bad. And the next fork put in, he saw a cockroach inside. Alright? A big cockroach. And then he's quite embarrassed, so he told the two leaders, I'm sorry, I cannot eat this, you know. And then to his horror, all three of them found cockroaches in their noodles. But you know what? The Christian leaders in Cambodia was very ashamed, so they say, you know, Brother Ravi, please do not eat this, let us eat it. So they took away the cockroaches and they finished up all the noodles. These are men from Cambodia who is not afraid to eat. For us, right, we would have sued the restaurant and then write a lot of reports on Facebook and many other social media, right? If there's a -5 star, we'll put -5 star there. But for them, they finish it. And you know, a few days after this, the Khmer Rouge came over. Ravi went back to America. And then when the Khmer Rouge came over, all the Christians were captured. And so Ravi called up the Evangelical Alliance and said, is there anything that we have done to help our friends? And so they say, yes, we sent the helicopter. But they didn't want to come up. They say, if we have one more day to reach a Khmer Rouge for Jesus Christ, we would. Two of them, within the Khmer Rouge coming in, within 2 weeks, both of them were executed and massacred. These are men who believes that the Word of God is true. They believe in the message and they believe with all their lives. What about eating some noodles with cockroaches? They are willing to pay with their lives. What's your heart for the lost? Compassion is my second point. You got to have content with conviction. You got to have compassion, but not just compassion only saying, but with action. Paul says this, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that none or one has died for all. Therefore, all has died. And he died for all. And those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. What's the motivation for evangelism? Loving God. You know, when Jesus at one point in time was sending out his disciples 2 by 2 for a mission trip, he sent them out. And then he went to this place where he was going to feed the 5,000. I went to this place in Israel last year. It was a huge place. And many has gathered, but he didn't know. Just before that, when the disciples came back after preaching, tired, Jesus said this to them. He said, come, let's come away by yourselves and go to a quiet place to rest. Now, for all the pastors, leaders, you know, staff workers and full-time ministry workers, you'll be like, this is our Monday, okay? Monday, switch off all the phone. Don't call me. Don't touch me. I am out of reach, out of sight, out of mind. Don't even remember me, okay? Just pray to God. You don't need me. I'm not your savior anyway. So this is like that moment when Jesus says, come, it's your break time. Let's go and have a break. And when they arrive in this place, there were 5,000 people sitting there. Now, Jesus said this. He was, or the Bible says this, or rather, Mark says this, that he was filled with compassion. Everybody say compassion. Come on, say it with more compassion. Compassion, right? Now, imagine with me, Jesus went there and say, oh, poor thing, they are like sheep without shepherd. Never mind, we find another mountain. This place is too crowded already. This is compassion without action. You understand what I'm trying to say? When Jesus saw that, he had compassion. And then the next part, it says, because it was sheep without shepherd. And it says, and he began to teach them many things. It's tiring to preach. It's tiring to prepare message, I'm telling you. But he taught them from morning to night. All right? Let's read this out together. 1, 2, 3. Don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Don't use busyness as an excuse not to care. Don't use guilt as a motivation. Don't use fear as a manner to care. In the same passage, in fact, in the same book or letter, Paul tells Timothy, be kind to everyone. Flee from youthful passion, pursue righteousness. Guys, if you are still wondering what I'm going to spend my weekend on, what I'm going to spend my time on, now, if you are really convinced, don't just be compelled. Don't just go to Facebook and like a few articles that make you cry, and then the next moment, right, you begin to spend all your time playing games. That is not being really compassionate. Okay, I tell my wife, this is my lovely wife, and every day I can tell her 1,000 times, I love you, I love you, I love you, you know, one day I went to her and say, you know, darling, I don't call her darling anyway, I say, dear, she has this great love, she don't really watch action-packed movies. How many of you love action-packed movies? Like the Avengers, you know? Okay, I have a great love for Avengers, I can not see any friends here. But anyway, my wife loved the Avengers, particularly a character. Guess which one? Huh? Sorry? Spider-Man? That's not the Avengers, right? Sorry, Spider-Man is not, but you have not watched the show. Sorry, which one? Captain America! Alright, and I say, why you like Captain America? You're handsome, what? Then, like, very muscular, very kind, always doing all the right thing. Then I say, I also like that. No, sometimes you lie to me. So one day I sat by the sofa and I say, okay, from today onwards, I'm going to be your Captain America. And then she turned to me. I thought that was one of the most romantic words I can say, right? Because compassion, love, everything, from the bellies inside, within, come out, these beautiful words, I will be your Captain America. And then she said, no, I don't want you to be my Captain America. I want you to be the Iron Man. In fact, to put it more accurately, it's the Ironing Man. So, can you please go and iron all the children's clothes every Sunday? 5 pieces only. Okay, plus Caleb 1, 2 pieces, so 7. So ever since then, I've been ironing. Okay, I'll be your ironing man. You know, you can tell your mom, I love you, I love you. You're not going to fold your clothes. That's it. You know, your love is not counted. Your compassion must come with action. Mother Teresa says this, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. You don't have to do like big stuff. And for the last few years, our ministry, we have started this thing called MAD. It has become a movement. I tell you this, it didn't start off with the intention of wanting to make it a movement, but it started with a mentoring group, just the three of us. And we were talking, and I was challenging them as usual, because my strength finder, top one is activator, so I activate everybody I see. So I say, okay, what do you want to change? And one of them say, I want to be radical. I want to do things crazy one. Go and talk to people because I'm very scared. So I say, never mind. For the next 200 over days, right? Every day on Facebook, we will do something radical or do something that is simple but radical, something that you normally don't do, like you do small things. So we started doing, and one of the challenges I gave to myself was to, when I go out, right, when I was driving, I always look, there are some people by the side of the road and they are waiting for a taxi and they would need a ride. And I would tell myself, you know, how good it is if I kind of stop there and I say, hey, you need a lift? And they will say, like, siao, are you? And I did that, and some of them do think that I'm crazy, but there was many times when I wanted to do it, but I didn't dare to do it. So there was a morning when I was doing my devotion and God convicted me so much about Cornelius. Oh, God sent Cornelius to Peter, appear before him, and say, I pray this prayer. I say, oh God, send me a Cornelius. Actually, I don't mean it, but I just kind of passionately, oh, send me a Cornelius. I drove out that morning and I saw that Cornelius, his name was not Cornelius, but you know what I mean. Like he was standing there waiting to be picked up. And my heart was, I tell you, when I was driving, wow, it started to pump really hard. Pop, 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 pop. And then it got really pop, 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 pop. And I wanted to drive off. I said, God, really, really? Okay, okay, let's stop. If he say no, that's it, I'm driving off. And when I stopped the van, he was on the phone. And I look at him, I didn't even have a chance to ask him. He just got out my car. Like I was a taxi driver. And then the next thing, I found myself asking the question, so where do you want to go, sir? And then he said, Tiong Bahru, okay? And this is true. And I was listening to a sermon, and the sermon was like the altar call, come to Jesus, you know? I thought I have a captive audience right now. So I drove into Tiong Bahru, and then he realized that he was not in a cab. He started talking. And I tell you, I have one of the most amazing, amazing conversations. He's a really true blue Hindu. He did not accept Christ, but we talk a lot about faith. I drop him off. He said, you know, you're doing a good thing. You're doing a good thing. I hope to see you again. I say, God bless you. All right. And there are many more instances like this. I mean, this is another story of the, I have this heart for elderly people. There was an elderly people, old couple that I picked up. And they really want to bless me with money. And I say, you cannot give me money. I'm not a taxi driver. If you give me money, it'll be illegal, you know? So they chase me around the car when they come down. Come on, tolong lah, take lah. So I ran out and I drove home. This morning, I just picked someone to play tennis. It was someone who accepted Christ but has never gone to church. His name is Stanley. I just sent him and said, do you want to come to church next week? He said, no, I'll give you a pass. But, you know, thank you so much for that kind act. He was very appreciative. How do you do acts of kindness? Okay, how do you go mad? Just remember diet. Turn to your neighbor and say diet. Be on diet, all right? You want to be mad? Go on diet. All right. Doable, intentional, encouraging, transferable. Okay, even children can do that. Our children ministry has been blessing some people, some children in Thailand. You can do it. I know my time is running out. I'm going to close with just one more story and one more point and that's it. Can you bear with me? Can you go on for another 15 minutes? Yes. Can I? Because I really want to share this story. some of you know Pastor Cornelius? Yeah? It is his father. Last year he passed away. And a couple of years ago, I heard the news that Cornelius' father had cancer. And so he asked for help. And he said that, can anybody from any ministry or Chinese ministry go and talk to my dad? But this is the criteria. You cannot preach the gospel. Okay? Like being me, I say, we cannot must preach the gospel. You cannot preach gospel because he's very anti-Christian. Some of you know Zhou Qian. When Zhou Qian was leading Cornelius when he was a young boy, Zhou Qian was driven out and scolded by him, throw things at by this man. So I went with fear and trepidation and I asked my brother-in-law because he had stage 3 cancer, nose cancer, and my brother-in-law has stage 2 nose cancer, a recovered cancer patient. So I brought him along and I came to him, and true enough, when we entered the house, he was okay to receive us, but the first thing he said, I know you Christian, huh? You're going to share the gospel. You're going to preach to me, right? I tell you, you don't try to share the gospel with me. Unless your Jesus can heal my cancer, I will believe him. So I say, uncle, relax lah. Okay? We are Cornelius friends. And then I do my smile. It worked, huh? Okay, so I said, uncle, we just want to bless you and pray for you. Can or not? He said, oh, sure, of course. Then, of course, my brother-in-law talked about the cancer treatment, chemotherapy. And I tell you, I felt really left out. I sat there and said, wow, how does it feel, huh? Wow, you are so healthy, now. Oh, you are this, And he never turned and talked to me. I thought to myself, every time I want to say something, there's no opportunity. But I left and I came back again. But not immediately, after 3 months, I went back, I bought some powder, I said, you know, uncle, this is for you. A few months later, I called him, I said, uncle, can visit you again? I said, can, I'm very free nowadays, come. I can talk, then he talked about his glorious days, last time, he was this and that, how he persecuted Christian. And you know, every time when he asked me, don't talk about Christianity, don't preach the gospel to me. Do you know, every time he was the one that bring out the gospel, he was the one that want to talk about it. He was the one that say, how come Christian like that? And I have to explain, no lah, it's not like that one, uncle. It's like that, like that. So there was a time where I could invite him to a dinner, a charity dinner. And, you know, this charity dinner, he was there and it was in Chinese throughout. He couldn't understand Chinese. He could only speak English. So he sat there, but he was quite happy to be there. And I just got up my seat after the dinner. I went to him. He gave me a big hug. And he said, Chris, thank you so much. Thank you for visiting me. And so I thought, this is the moment. I just asked him, never mind, just try. I said, uncle, want to become a Christian? Or? And he said, yes. I was shocked because he could not understand the message. And so I led him to Christ. It was amazing. And I knew that I have to disciple him, so I went back again. Then, of course, he went to Cornelius Church. Pastor Jens was pastoring then. And last year, I received 2 phone calls. The first phone call really touched me. You know, before that, he was a man who says, don't preach. And he keeps saying this, you know, I'm afraid to die. I shouldn't be dying so young. I shouldn't be dying so young. He keeps saying that to me. And then last year, there was a phone call, and then he called me and said, Chris, I'm going to get baptized soon. I almost cried. And he said this to me, he said, Chris, you know, something happened. Now I'm not afraid to die. Because I said, uncle, how are you feeling? He said, bad lah, now get worse lah, you know, my mucus coming down, cannot, I'm like getting weaker and weaker, but I'm happy, you know. I'm happy because I'm not afraid of death anymore. Scripture says that death has lost its sting, and has lost its sting indeed for Uncle Bernard. When he said that, I really cried, and I said, Uncle Bernard, how are you? You know, he said, there's another thing I want to tell you, Chris. Every time I go to church, they sing that song, The Power of His Love. I don't know why I keep crying, you know. I keep crying and crying and crying. I say, Uncle Bernard, that's the Holy Spirit touching you, you know. Just receive it. Just receive. Okay? And be touched by God. Last year, he called me. And I just something in me and say, go and visit him because he's in the hospital. And this is for a period, you know, this is a period of about 4 to 5 years. Guys, he passed away peacefully with assurance of salvation. Amen. Shall we give a clap offering to God? Can we ask Marcus, Hannah to come? Time is really running out, but I do want to give you my last point. And that is, conduct must come with consistency. You won't buy a Samsung phone when the salesman is using iPhone, right? Some of you are thinking, God, you're not going to use me, right? Because I'm still smoking. I'm still struggling with pornography. But you know what? Stop saying that, please. I struggle with young people who are so gifted. And this is what Lee Kuan Yew says in one of the quotes. He says that you'll be amazed at how many intelligent people that are out there and they are not doing anything to contribute to society. And I stand here and I say, I look at you guys and I'm a bit jealous because we are a small ministry and we're struggling sometimes to survive because sometimes people come and say, oh, I love you guys, but I can't speak Chinese. And I say, okay, go to the English ministry. The family that I led to Christ came to our church. Then she say, oh, the whole family, I can't get used to it. And the girl that was demon-possessed and then came to know the Lord came to church and then say, oh, too far. And then I sent them to where? I sent them to Covenant EFC that was just near the house. So I sent them to different churches. And now they are worshiping there almost every weekend. I was so blessed. But the fact is this, don't wait until your life is completely changed, then you share the gospel. Share the gospel until your life is consistently being changed by God. Amen? You keep doing. When I say that I don't have the gift of evangelism, I may have stopped then. But I say, no, God, I love you. I'll just keep doing. I'll keep doing. I'll keep doing. I come before you. I'm convicted. You are good, not me. So if I preach the gospel with content, without content, Lord, you do it. But I want to know the content. Teach me to share better. You don't give up. When you are struggling with the secret, throw away the secret. For Christ's sake. Stop wasting time in your youthful days. Give everything. When Jesus beat and called his disciples, he did not say, oh, give us some things. He said, give us everything. When Peter was following Jesus Christ, he left what? He left his work, his lifestyle. He left the nets. When Matthew was caught, he stopped collecting taxes anymore. It was always about leaving everything. It's not something. God is not interested to be part of your life. God is interested in the whole of your life. Amen? God is interested tonight to do some new work in some of us today. If you are the one that's saying, God, me, please, I've been giving just a part tonight. I want you to give up everything. Give everything. Learn to give everything. When Count Zinzendorf was converted, he was standing before a great picture of Jesus Christ crucified and stretched out his hands. And Count Zinzendorf was a great man that started the great revival called the Moravian Church Missions. And that impacted the Wesley brothers that started another revival. Now this man was used by God. He was a church person, but he was not a born-again Christian. He saw this picture, and just at the bottom of this picture, it says this, all this I've done for you, what have you done for me? What have you done for me? And he knelt down, and he gave his entire life to Jesus Christ. C.T. Studd, when he was preaching with all his heart, one non-Christian, an atheist, in fact, someone who don't believe in God, challenge him and says this, if Jesus is as good as what you're saying, you know what? You'll be giving up everything that you have and sell your possessions, just like the rich young ruler, and follow Jesus and use your life to preach the gospel. When C.D. Studd heard this, he did exactly that. He had a great, great career ahead of him. Smart guy. He was one of the Cambridge Seven. He started the mission organization called the Heart of Africa, which is today known as WEC, World Evangelization for Christ. I studied in one of the colleges there. And if you know Michael Ross Watson, he was one of the missionaries from the organization. And in that organization today is sending out tremendous amount of missionaries to different parts of the world. And he said this, if Jesus Christ is God and died for me, there is no other sacrifice too big for me to give to him. Let us stand. Let's stand. Come on, let's come before God. And in response, I really want to challenge you tonight, not just to do the work of evangelists, but to really surrender. It's all about surrendering. If you are saying that, you know, I can't, then don't just go by your feeling. Then can you say, I try, Lord? And say, God, I want your heart for the loss. What's your heart for the loss? I'm going to ask Marcus And as they begin to sing this song, and as you're listening to the lyrics of this song, I pray that in your timing, I'm going to invite you to come forward. Three kind of people. First, you are dried up already. You've been stopping, you know, and you need a refreshment. You say, God, I've been holding back, and I really need to commit everything to you tonight. If that's you, when they are singing this song, at any point of time, all right, please come forward. I know it's difficult to come forward, and I share this with the pastors. I say, today I really want people who seriously are thinking about what I'm saying tonight to make a decision. That's you, right? You may have come forward many times, but if that's you, come forward tonight. But if you have never come forward and today you feel your heart say, you know, I just have to go forward tonight. It's difficult, it's uncomfortable, and that's why I'm going to ask you to do it. If it's easy, I'm not going to ask you to do it. I always ask my youth to do difficult things. That's what God asks of us. Everything. So if that's you, right, when they are singing this song, at any point of time, just come forward. Okay? I'm going to ask the pastors, leaders to pray for you. Okay, and then we're going to close the service. All right, simple. First one, people who are dried up. Second one, those of you who are new here, you want to know Jesus. You want to give your life to Jesus tonight. You know, God knows your heart. You may come here broken, but God's good news for you is this. He will always hold that shattered part of you and put it together. In fact, God has a super glue that nobody has. And He glues so well that when you look at it again, the cracks sometimes kind of disappear, but you know that the cracks are there. Some of you have been grouped before and you say that I want to rededicate my life. Same group of people, come forward. And if that's you, right, you say, God, you know, I have cracks here, but I want you to flow through me so that people can be touched through the cracks. If that's you, right, come forward. And final group of people, you are passionate, you are like on fire for God. Praise God for you. I want you to come forward to pray for the people you are reaching out to, because you may be a bit disappointed because you've been reaching out to them maybe for years. Now, Uncle Bernard did not accept Christ first time. You know, I visited him about 3 years, not every week, probably about 5 times in 3 years, a span of time. Don't give up. So if you are praying for someone, I want you to come forward and pray for the person right here at the altar. All right, so Marcus, we'll sing this song, People Need the Lord, at any moment, at any time. Come forward, right? Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, come.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes.
To minister. And Marcus is going to sing this song again, and I just want to open up once again the altar before you for people who want to come forward because you know that you have been dry for a longest time. You don't even know what purpose you are living for. We invite you to come forward to respond. If you want to rededicate your life or to say that this song Marcus sing, people need the Lord. I am that people. I need the Lord. I need the Lord today. And you've come forward and respond to that as well. And on my left side, come forward if you have people in your heart, you're praying and you're contending for them to know the Lord, but you know that you've hit the wall, you're discouraged, and you're someone who's saying, I will stand in the gap until they come to the Lord. Come forward. So it's not about hype, but I believe that when we take our steps out from our comfort zone, that in itself is a prayer. That in itself is saying to God that I will move out to wherever you would call me.
People need the Lord. If you're praying for someone, I invite you to come and pray for them here. All right, if you're praying for someone, really, it's not a demonstration or anything, but I want you to come forward because you have a heart for Him. If that's you, just come forward. Don't look at someone else beside you because it's not going to come. That's all right. You come, all right? People need the Lord. You come and stand in prophecy. You know this song? Sing with me, all right? Sing with me and sing this song in your heart.
People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? And we are called to take His life to a world where all seems right. What can be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear.
Ministry is going on in front. I just want to challenge everyone else. You're in your seats for different reasons, and it's between you and the Lord. I just want us to close our eyes right now, and I want us to pray for two things. One, to pray for your heart that you will increase and grow in the compassion that the Lord has for the world. Ask Him to break your heart for the things that break His, for you to delight in the very same things that delight His as well. Even if you're not in front, pray that prayer over your heart. If your heart has been cold, ask Him to send a fire over you that cannot be quenched. Pray for yourself and pray for the people in front. They are your family. We are all one body here. So pray for yourself, your heart of compassion, and pray for the ones in front, that we will be a youth ministry on fire for the Lord. That just like we sang, that God, you are our potter, that you call us, lead us. Where does He call us? He call us out, because He's out in the harvest. So let's just spend the next couple of minutes just praying over these things. Pray for yourself, pray for the people in front. Ask for a fresh fire.
Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen.
Lord, show us.
Show me how to love like you.
Not just over people in front, but over us, over the next generation, the new people rising up to take their place in this nation, that we are youth ministry who are not going to just live our life on our own terms. What do you see? I see a near revival. What does it take? People who will stand in the gap. And as you sing, God asks you this question: are you that man who will stand in the gap? Are you the one my spirit will look and dwell on?
I see a generation. I see a generation. Let's prophetically declare. Oh, we're rising up to take our place with selfless faith. With selfless faith. I see a near revival. Hosanna, Hosanna.
Let's just close our eyes. I'm going to close the ministry time, and I'm going to close the service as well. But I think it's apt that we spend the last moments of this service, though it's late, to contend and pray for the people on our hearts. And God could have placed maybe a nation on your heart. For me, I'm always thinking about Japan. So I would just want us to spend the next couple of minutes praying for the people on your heart, the friends around you. Maybe your family is not saved yet. Pray for them. It could be a nation. It could be a friend. Go for it. God, we thank you that you are good. And we stand here today as testaments of your grace. And we are saved because of the work of Jesus on the cross, and that he has risen again. And Father, as a youth ministry, we lift up before you all the people on our hearts, in our lives, that you have placed around us. Be it our family, our friends, be it nations. And God, we want to steward the compassion you have placed in us for them well, that it grows. That Father, we ask that you put in us a growing heart, a deeper heart of compassion for them. Lord, just like we sang the song, break a heart for what breaks yours. God, we sing and say these words with meaning, and we will not just give lip service, but we want to say that we will do it as well. We will go out of our comfort zones to reach them. God, we want to be people who will follow you wherever you will go, into the harvest fields, everywhere that you will go, we will follow you, because we are your people, we are sons and daughters, and yet we are also your bride. And God, we lift up these people to you before you, asking you, God, will you transform their hearts? Unless you do the work in their hearts, how can we change their hearts? We cannot. But God, you can. Your Holy Spirit can. And God, we avail ourselves to be your vessels, to bring a message to them. And we believe that this message will change lives. This message breaks the yoke. God, your Spirit is the one that sends the revelation, that breaks the chain, that allows them to come to you. And together, God, we just say, Father, do the work in their hearts. Change their hearts. Let them come to you. Break their hearts for what breaks yours. Give them the joy of knowing the Father, just like we have tasted and we have seen. And God, we say today as a youth ministry that we believe that you are God, the Father who loves us, that sent your Son for us. We believe that you are the Holy Spirit in us, and this is our conviction. And God, I just want to speak a fresh fire over different hearts that are dry. There are ones among us who are so dry they cannot step out of their seats. And I pray for you specifically that you will taste and see that the Lord is good again, that you will not despair of hope. I pray for a fresh fire over this ministry, that every heart now lays bare to receive the fire of the Lord, that you receive a new anointing, a new conviction to reach beyond what you thought you could. And for those who responded in front, God, special grace to be given to them. Father, I ask that whatever they have come forward for, whatever they have said yes to, how they have come and said, God, I want something more from you. Lord, you satisfy over exceedingly abundantly so, because you are a good Father. And God, we just lift up everything that we have put before you today, and we ask God, take it. You're so small. But God, you are a great God, and your power is more than sufficient. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So guys, we're going to end service here. But I want to challenge you guys on something. Pastor Chris gave us such a convicting message. I am so moved by that. And I think that the heart of his message is that we don't just hear it, but we do something about it as well. And I want to challenge everyone here, whatever that God has convicted you, make it a goal to do something. And if God has touched you today, I want you to share with someone else in this family. Share with your leader, you can share with a friend, and say, this is what God has placed on my heart. Hold me accountable for it. Because I want to be serious with what I've been given. Shall I do that? Oh, someone, the thumbs up. Thank you. Yes. Okay, so I'm going to end the night on this note. Okay, one last announcement. When y'all came in, ushers gave you a paper, right? Some right, some got right. Okay, this paper, right, one paper is for Pastor Vic. Pastor Vic, are you wrong? Okay, he's not wrong. Right, one paper is for Pastor Vic, the other paper is for Pastor Joy. It's for you guys to write any notes of encouragement or your farewell note for them, because their last days actually will be the end of this month, right? So if you want to give them your notes, you can drop them in the bin. Correct, rubbish bin. The rubbish bin is the one that has their name on it. I'm so sorry. Outside. Or you can put their notes right in a special secret box that is very obvious in front of our notice board, our youth notice board. Can? Okay, have a good weekend, everyone.